You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we talk about Mbappe se queda in PSG. Also, we talk about Barcelona's financial troubles. We're their accountants now. There's a lot of issues. And U.S. World Cup qualifying. We'll see how we preview it and see how it's going to go.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Roque Santa Cruz. You might remember him from his time in the Premier League, from his time in the Bundesliga, winning Champions League, or how he's still playing to this day. Why are you still playing? We talked to him about Paraguay, how incredible he was playing for them, and what they need to do to make it into that World Cup, and how we're spoiled. Also, he may offer us some passports. It's pretty dope. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Hello!
The voice is back!
Oh, and the hair is gone.
What happened? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe your hair was too long, my voice was gone. They somehow worked against each other.
Yeah, look, all right, things are a little bit different. Okay, it's September, back to school.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
you got school photos. What's the deal, right? Does your neck feel better now?
You know, I'm going to a new school. I'm creating a new identity for myself.
You're a whole new person. They don't remember the old you, right? They didn't know you as, Sloppy Polanco, you know?
That's right. That was my name. Sloppy Polanco. Polanco wet the bed all the time. Okay?
Damn Sloppy Polanco.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Okay. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Fubo Sports Network.
That's right. It's also the gulliest. It's also the Sloppy Polanco-ist.
This episode is going to be extra sloppy. Okay. What a way to start the show and mention who our guest is today. Legendary Paraguayan footballer, Roque Santa Cruz.
That's okay? Right. You might remember him from his time at Bayern, which is why I'm wearing this shirt. You might remember him from his time at Manchester City, Blackburn Rovers just before that. Also, still playing with Olympia. The man won't stop.
The man is going to be an octogenarian playing soccer. He will not.
Can we pause so I can Google that real quick?
So a lot to discuss with him. We're going to be talking about the World Cup qualifiers, specifically CONMEBOL with Roque. So he'll be with us a little bit later. But let's start today where to begin? Obviously, we have to start with La Liga. We have to start with Messi, Mbappe.
World Cup qualifying. There's so much stuff happening.
Yeah, so much stuff happening. But let's start with Mbappe and his news that he is not. He's staying at PSG. He's going to be playing with Neymar, with Messi, and not going to Real Madrid when Real Madrid was doing everything possible. They're like, baby, please. We know you want you don't want him. You know you want to be with me.
Look at this ring. It's worth $160 million. How about this bad boy right here? $220 million. But I mean, PSG just wasn't listening to the offers. I think Florentino Perez said they asked him, did they finally pick up the phone? Did they finally respond to one of your offers? And this was for the $160 million one. He said, yes, they did respond, and they responded rudely, which is just his way of saying, like, I don't think they're into it, you know?
No real clarity on what actually happened, you know what I mean? You can't burn that bridge, you know? You still got to do business with PSG at some point in the future.
But if we know Florentino Perez, we know some audio leaks are going to be coming out soon,
Can't wait for them voice notes, right?
It's Raul's fault. he's a fraud.
Why am I in this? I didn't do anything. Bro, I haven't played in 15 years.
I haven't said anything. if you're La Liga, what do you do now? Who's the biggest name in La Liga right now? Is it Memphis Depay?
Hector Bellerin at Real Betis. Okay?
Balompié. Let's go.
He's going to change the whole landscape out
Is it Griezmann? Is Griezmann the biggest name?
Well, Griezmann, right. So let's talk about this because Antoine Griezmann, the blackest man I've ever met.
As per his Halloween photos.
Exactly. Okay. He is a brother. He is now going back to Atletico Madrid. So Barcelona are having this fire sale because they are in a wild amount of debt. They need to balance the books, and that's going to take a long time. They need to get rid of players that are on high wages. They brought in Antoine Griezmann from Atletico for what? Well, it was like 120 million, if I remember correctly.
A lot. It was a lot of money.
Sold him back. He's on loan, and for a $40 million buyback.
This is bad business. This is like when T-Pain bought the $3 million Bugatti and then a year later sold it for $800,000. this is why he went broke. He talks about how he went broke. I think Bars is on that T-Pain financial advisory.
A terrible a necessary but terrible decision that had to be made. Jordi Alba and Piqué had to cut their wages so that Sergio Aguero can register as a player for the team. So they
have so little players that Ansu Fati was just given the number 10 shirt and the number 11. I mean, the kid's got a lot to do.
You're going to have to play multiple positions at the same time, okay?
I mean, get out there, kid. You've got young legs.
But this is what some people have been saying that.
But wait, hold on. Before you bring that up, when Griezmann went, after the Messi deal finally happened, as Griezmann was showing up to training, the fans berated him. He looked distressed in the car because he was getting told left and right, it's your fault. You shouldn't have been here. Messi would still be here if you weren't here. Might be true.
Wow. It is, it's like telling your kids, you're the reason we got divorced.
Yeah,
you know what
100%.
I mean?
Sit the kid down and be like, mommy and daddy are no longer together. I don't know what you're thinking. And you're right. It is you. You got a lot of inner searching to do, my friend.
Madness, right? Because this was so now that Griezmann is back to Atletico Madrid, people are saying that if Griezmann would have left a month ago, that Barcelona would have been able to keep Messi. And it's an interesting question here because...
And Ansu Fati wouldn't also have to be the janitor, you know?
Hey, all right. We're picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. Everybody's doing everything.
Kid's got a lot of jobs. He's a social media admin. The kid's got a lot.
Terstegen, you're also the social media intern. Yeah. Get with it.
I mean, while you're picking out the garbage, maybe you type a little tweet here and there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, TikTok, get with it.
Why don't you? You're a savage as you're playing two positions on the pitch.
but would Messi, if this was the case, Griezmann leaves a month ago, do you think Messi stays? Do you think because they are allowed to keep him, do you think Messi says, all right, I will continue at Barcelona and ride this out, ride out whatever this financial mismanagement is, and maybe try to turn things around?
He's gonna ride at my pony. I don't think that's what you meant. There are two questions. Could he have stayed? Yeah, right? Because I think that's enough wages coming off your books to be able to afford him. Would he have stayed? I think it would have been... There's something about that saga of him calling Pochettino and saying, like, I'm ready, call the board, tell him I want to come. There's something about that where, remember, he previously said he wanted to leave. It seemed like it was on thin ice that they had convinced him to stay. I think he would have left anyway. I think he would have left at the moment he heard the rumors that Griezmann was on his way out before that deal was done. I think he would have bailed so that, because remember, he was unregistered. He was essentially a free agent, if you will.
Yeah.
I think he would have bailed immediately so that no one would have been able to say, like, wait, let's just get this Griezmann deal done. He would have bailed before that was done so that there wasn't any of that negative, sort of publicity around his departure.
Yeah. Look, it's a difficult question and obviously very hypothetical and theoretical. But we know for sure He's having a good old time at PSG, okay?
He is because, enjoying himself.
Because PSG do not have the financial issues that Barcelona has. they are like, okay, Nuno, oh, we got you. Genie, we got you.
He's on the phone with Ansu Fati going, you're doing what? As he's eating caviar. All right, Christian, let's talk a little bit about Premier League because obviously the transfer window is closed and a lot of movement in and out of that league. In particular, Manchester United. Right? Should we talk about Arsenal spending the most? No, right? We could wait for that. Let's talk about Manchester United because they brought in a lot of players and a criminal, which was really good.
Yeah, it's making a big splash. A lot of news. Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo leaves Juve, signs with Manchester United after the rumors of him possibly going to Manchester City.
Yeah, my guy was like, I ain't going nowhere. How dare you disrespect me and my family by saying I'm leaving Juventus? And then as he's packing the bags.
But this is, I think the question here is how much of an impact and difference is Cristiano Ronaldo going to make outside of the nostalgia of bringing back a guy who was, a superstar at Manchester United for 6 years.
I mean, everybody's doing a reboot, right? Everybody's getting a reboot. Now Manchester United.
No original scripts anymore?
Damn.
Okay. Another Marvel movie? Okay. We're doing this again?
Yo, everybody gets a reboot, including early 2000s Manchester United. I just think this is, I mean, look, if we're going to remove everything else about the player and just think of it as a player, you know, you've got what probably is one of the most, it's hard to say the best, right? Because there were so many great players that have played for it, but probably one of the most high profile players to ever come through your club or to be at your club to come back. That often feels kind of fun. You know, you got like when Alan Shearer went back to, Newcastle to manage it, a lot like that. It didn't work out. He didn't save them from being relegated. That's kind of how I feel about this move. It doesn't seem like, I mean, look, he's not a bad player. I'm not going to put it that way, but this just doesn't seem like the move Manchester United need.
Yeah, I that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like it feels not like a footballing move. It feels like an Instagram collab. You know what I mean? They're really trying to.
They got themselves an influencer.
Cross-pollinate for some reason.
Let's get your brand and our brand and together. That's kind of how it feels. Look, I'm not saying he's not going to score. So we were having this conversation before. If the goal total for the end of the season, just Premier League, not all competitions, is 15 over under for Cristiano Ronaldo. How do you answer that, right? Like, as a player, is he good enough to score 15 goals? Yeah. Are they going to maybe force him the ball a little bit because it's Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, who's going to take the penalties? We know Bruno is the designated penalty kick taker.
He don't do nothing else. I mean, let the guy do the penalties. Yeah.
I think it's going to be under. I don't see him scoring more than 15 Premier League goals. I think you can do it in Serie A. It is, it's not some, quote unquote farmers league or whatever. But the level of competition, is and especially the level of defending. I mean, you look at the defenders. Italy used to be, the defending was like its identity, right?
Right, and the Catenaccio and all that.
Yeah. There's the Burnleys. You know what I mean? There's just the dude, like the lads that
Some of these clubs field 11 defenders, like Burnley. You know, they're not even trying.
It's a little bit different. I don't see him scoring that many. Do I think he's going to help Manchester United? Yes. I mean, there's gonna be moments that we'll see where and he's provided those moments where that they're simply like, wow, nobody else could have scored that goal in that particular moment.
Could you see this go badly?
Yes. I mean, I can already see it. Look, because the focus was like this, in my opinion, like a very strong, like a business decision to some degree.
Right.
Look, it's interesting seeing the way the media is even handling it all, because he is going to be asked those questions about those charges and allegations.
It's the English media. They're just waiting.
But it's interesting how in Italy it was handled a certain way, in Spain it was handled a certain way. In England, you see even like some media outlets like deleting tweets that are critical or asking the questions. There's Manchester United fans that are in a tough spot. They're like, well, I don't know how I should feel about the club given this man's history and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot at play. And look, do I think he's been able to ignore it all? I think he'll be fine. But the people around him, it might be a bit of a distraction. So in that regard, I could see it going badly.
Yeah, if you look at it from a strictly, and I'm interested to see what the English media do with that, because I agree with you. There are some people who are just like, no, let's pretend this isn't happening, at least for that beginning, that honeymoon period. But the moment he misses like a big penalty or something, they're going to be like, I told you not to bring him in. The dude is illegal, you know? But what I'm interested in is whether that's going to make up that gap that's going to beat Manchester City. And I know Manchester City hasn't had the greatest start to their season. But when you look at, I mean, they did beat Arsenal 5-0, so maybe everything's calmed down. But when you look at whether these types of players, the Sancho deal makes them better, the Varane deal makes them better, I'm not sure this deal puts them over the hump. You know what I mean? And yeah. It does. Ole Gunnar's got a hell of a task because that's a lot of personalities in one dressing room. Good luck. Good luck, buddy.
All right, just want to break in real quick to let people know about Saturday, because we are going, the Cooligans, for the first time ever, we're going to be in-stadium hosts for the Gotham FC match against the Chicago Red Stars. This game will be
huge.
At Rebel Arena, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Get tickets. It is Latinx night. We're the hosts.
That's right. We're taking over the aux cable. We're going to be playing reggaeton.
Okay, you better get ready to bachata during a goal celebration.
Okay, let's go. Let's go, Gotham FC.
Okay, this is going to be the Cooligans experience at a match. So this is a huge opportunity for us. We're absolutely honored to get to do something like this. So if you have an opportunity to go to the game, go to the game. Gotham FC against the Chicago Red Stars. Against who are owned by Sarah Spain, the homie. So it's going to be a nice friendly rivalry at this game. Okay. Coming up, we also have Roque Santa Cruz, and we're going to be talking about CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers with him in a moment. But let's start with the United States and their World Cup qualifying campaign, okay? Because the last go around wasn't really as fun and exciting. You know, it got into the final day about with qualifying. What was it? It was about like an 80% chance that the U.S. were gonna the U.S. men were going to qualify,
and we all know what happened. They
did
not
work out.
And this is tough, dude. It's eight teams. Only the first one actually fully qualifies. Whoever finishes at the top fully qualifies. Second place may qualify.
It is the octagonal.
Yeah.
This time, and maybe you could piece it together, because remember I said octogenarian.
Right.
Before.
Yeah.
What could I have been referring to?
That just means that these teams are old, right? Stop trying to trick me, Sloppy Polanco. Nah. Obviously, that means eight. Look, we used to hate the Hex. Remember that? We hated the Hex. Now we got eight. But here's the thing. Since we lost to Sweden, which was May 30th, we have gone on an absolute... Go ahead.
Wait, the women lost to Sweden, not the men?
Yeah, the men lost to Sweden 2-0.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So 2-1.
Why do I not remember that?
Since then, we've gone on an absolute run. We've beaten Honduras. We've beaten Mexico. We've beaten Costa Rica. We've beaten Haiti. We've beaten Martinique. We've beaten Canada. We've beaten Jamaica. We've beaten Qatar. And we've beaten Mexico. These are, other than Qatar, these are all the teams essentially we have to play. So we've done this before.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't feel like we good. And I don't know why.
Yeah, there was a question posed to Weston McKennie, and he was asked about this World Cup qualifying campaign. And Weston McKennie said that he wants to dominate CONCACAF. And some people are saying like, well, look, Nations League, Gold Cup. What do you mean dominate? How much more do you want to dominate? Do you want to like extinguish these other countries' existence?
Or, I mean, damn, what? Is Weston McKennie a colonizer?
What?
But when you look at it, it's still the fact that he says that, even though we beat Mexico in two finals in a row this summer, it still doesn't feel like we've earned the right to say we're dominant in this region.
Yeah, no, and I mean, he is definitely not saying that they are dominating, but he wants to.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with him. I'm saying he's an example of why we still have this inferiority complex in this region.
Right, right. And I think the in the three matches, I mean, it's going to be it's El Salvador, Canada, and Honduras. These are, you know, even a tournament play versus World Cup qualifiers are a little bit different, right? There's a bit more time to prepare for each opponent. There is a
every single player is going to be here.
Every point matters. Yeah. You know,
goals. Every single goal matters. You need to run that score up.
Exactly. So the you know, and then there's two away matches, and always the. There's going to be the conversations of what these environments going to be like. What is the pitch going to be like? And, you know,
the bands playing outside the hotels, fireworks, all these things come into play.
Because of the short turnaround in these three matches, there's going to be a lot of rotation. Some of these younger guys have not played in these environments. You play in Nations League, you play in Gold Cup, you're still playing in Dallas, in Nashville,
right?
In Columbus. You can wrap your head around what the experience is like, but it's a little bit different.
You go to San Salvador. things are different. You know what I mean? You know that people and the whole country. Wants you to lose. The guy who's checking you into your hotel right. wants you to lose, you know? Like, everybody wants you to lose. It's a different atmosphere that they're going into. But also, these are the atmospheres you need to, and those teams that did it in the early aughts and in the early 20-teens, these were the teams that fought through all that, survived all that. You kind of solidified yourself and made you strong enough to go into a World Cup and play well. So we kind of... What were you saying?
I was going to say, for these three matches, quick predictions. You think United States wins all three?
I think we win all three, and I think we only let in two goals.
In these three matches. Interesting. Yeah. I think out of the three, the toughest one, I think, you know, people would generally assume it might be Canada. We got Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tayshaun Buchanan. I think the game against Canada, I think, might be a draw, but I think the game against Honduras might be the most challenging one because it is away, home, and then away. So that travel alone is going to, I think, you know, depending on how Berhalter rotates these teams, that third one might be the most challenging.
And they're also
one.
In a short window.
I can see a loss there.
They're also in a short window. So all that travel in those short amount of days. Woo! I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Okay. So we have Roque Santa Cruz coming up next. Paraguayan international legend. Just a great, great time talking to him about World Cup qualifiers.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram.
Okay? You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, his name sounds like a skate shop in California, Roque Santa Cruz, everybody!
Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, it is, you are in Paraguay right now. We have to talk about World Cup qualifiers. Obviously, Paraguay is trying to do everything they can to get into a World Cup. It's just always an entertaining and challenging time. This next round is three matches. So it's going to be pretty condensed, but how are we feeling about the team right now?
Well, it's actually huge pressure on our team. We haven't been in the last
last two World Cups. So actually, people is putting a lot of pressure into our players now. And being in this situation with three games to go is actually big. We know that we need to be in the first four places, you know, to go to the next World Cup. So right now is actually very important for us to make points, to win points. We've been having also a lot of trouble winning home games. So it's going to be really interesting because we play now against Colombia and Venezuela in our home ground. So we really have to do something about it. And all the fans are really looking forward to these two games playing home. And we are desperate to go back to our World Cup. So for us, it's big. It's huge. People are really enthusiastic about it.
Now, I know it's a big deal. You have two of the three matches. Oh, by the way, if people don't know, all three matches are going to be played pretty condensed in about 10 days. Two of the three matches are at home in Paraguay. That's got to be a big benefit for you guys. But also, it looks like Newcastle isn't releasing Miguel Almirón. How big of a loss is that? And do you think it balances out by having two of those matches at home?
Well, to be fair, it is an advantage, you know, to play home. And due to the this COVID situation, we don't know still how big will be the crowd, you know, attending to this game. But we couldn't afford also to make a lot of points playing home in the last qualification games. And also in these ones, we only draw all our games here playing home. We only have drawn those games. So we haven't been strong, effective, you know, making points playing in our ground. So now is a lot of pressure, you know, for the players now to come in the ground in this situation. It's going to be tough because Colombia is also, you know, a straight competition for us, you know, regarding these two places that we usually say in South America. We think that Brazil and Argentina are going to have one of these two places. So Colombia is, especially Colombia, is one of the competitors we need to focus and that we need to get them behind us. So winning this first game, home game against Colombia, is going to be massive.
And what about Almirón? Newcastle isn't releasing him. How important is a player like Miguel Almirón to the chances of qualifying for the World Cup?
He is a massive player for us. He is one of our famous players, and people do have a lot of expectations, you know, about him when he plays in the national team. So it is a little bit frustrating for the supporters, you know, not to have him, especially because we know that we haven't been able to win games playing at home. So actually, right now, we are desperate, you know, to make this happen because we know that in our road to the next World Cup, where we really want to be there and we really want to go, everybody is expecting, you know, national team to win these two home games. So it is a little bit frustrating for us as supporters also, you know, to know that Newcastle has been also reluctant, you know, not to come here. He was desperately to come, and we know that he loves to come and play for the national team. So it is going to be, you know, tough to find somebody, you know, who can give what he does, you know, when he plays for the national team.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we've seen Miguel Almirón play several times, obviously, when he was at Atlanta United. We've seen him humiliate a lot of MLS teams with his pace and just incredible passing and scoring ability. So, you know, fascinating stuff, too. You helped Paraguay qualify for three World Cups. The fact that there's three match days here, I know you are retired from international duty, but you have a fascinating career in that you are currently 40 years old. You are still playing you're still playing professional football at Olympia. How would you theoretically, how would you handle a triple header in 10 days? How would you even be able to physically manage and play in three matches in just a short amount of time?
Well, I don't think that any players actually will manage to do that because One of our games is actually in Ecuador, where you need to count also that is very high, you know. It's about 2,600 meters, you know, high. So you get more tired. You got also the flies, you know, you fly to Ecuador, you come back here, then you have two games here. But we know that the games that we need, where we need actually to make points, is really, you know, playing home games. So I think that part of the team is going to play, you know, or are going to be rested, you know, to be 100% fit to play these two games. When you are playing the national team, you know, you get carried on by the adrenaline, you know, it's a lot of interest going on from the people. So you just get carried on and it's really nice. It's the best part of being a football player is actually playing for your national team. So I think that a couple of players are going to have all three games, you know, in their backs, which is also, you know, very tiring. And but you know, as I said, it's really nice, you know, it's lovely to win games with the national team, and hopefully we will do that also playing home games. And then you know, it's easier, you know, to find the rhythm and to get also the power, you know, of having those three games, which is really, really tiring.
He's playing music, he's doing his thing, and then he's like, I got something special. Yeah, and brings in the Martin Luther King.
It's a Martin Luther King, it's the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know how else to explain it besides it's laid under what is quite possibly the most stereotypically EDM song of all time. So it starts off, I have a dream. And then it continues to the end of the first sentence. And then the beat drops. And that's when David Guetta just starts like dancing. He's like, I don't know what y'all ain't dancing. I'm feeling it. Why is everyone crying?
I'm out here doing a two-step for Dr. King. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm sorry if my shoulder bounce is trying to end hatred. What are y'all doing? Y'all making remixes.
Okay, I'm trying to shimmy the racism away. Okay?
You know? Special delivery. We got rid of racism.
I mentioned that you're still playing. You have had an incredible career playing for Bayern Munich, playing Blackburn Rovers, Cruz Azul,
Manchester City.
You've played all over the world in all these different leagues. You would imagine that there's a lot. You put a lot of miles on those legs, on those knees. How are you still doing it, Roque? Well, most people can't even dream about having a career this long.
Well, no, to be fair, I need to say it is a little bit of a miracle for me also, you know, to being able to play football at my age, especially because I have like 12 surgeries in my career, you know, and all in a very short period of time. In my time in Germany, I had all of them. So in 8 years, I have like 10, 12 surgeries. And I obviously I had always thought that I may not get 30 and still be able to play football. But you know how is life, you know, sometimes a strange thing happens, and although I'm very professional and try to stay fit, you know, and take care of my body and everything, it's never guaranteed, you know, that you might be fit enough, you know, to play at this age and for 22 years playing professionally. So I'm really pleased with it. I enjoy it so much. And I think also when with the experience that you've got through the years, you get also, you know, the thoughts, you know, that you need to enjoy life, that you need to enjoy the quality time that you got in training, with playing and having a laugh with the other players and having a good time also while you are training, while you are playing. And this is something also that I appreciated so much. So I really still enjoy it. And I'm also, I think also that physically I'm still able, you know, to train every day, to be happy going to training, and of course
try to win games also for my team.
Well, I mean, look, you're still playing at 40. You're bagging goals for Olympia. Some of the players can't make it to these three matches. Let's say you get a phone call, right? You get a phone call from Eduardo Berrito. What are we gonna say if they ask you to, you know, hey, come out of retirement like Michael Jordan, go to the rafters and pull your jersey back down? What do you think? Would you play if you got called back up?
It's very hard to say no to the national. You get so many. All the credit that you gave also, you know. No, only from the fact of being able, you know, to put that national team up is a huge honor, you know. So I can see that happening, but obviously I will say no.
Jeez. You know, it's funny. You played for so long. You're beloved in so many different countries. I didn't realize you were also a regular at the hospitals in Germany. You had 12 surgeries. You must know everyone when you walk in. Hey, Stacy, how are you? How's the kids? That's insane.
I didn't mention it. I was a doctor, right?
Are you? Yeah. I mean, at this point, the only thing missing, and you're probably still doing medicine, still scoring goals. Jeez. You talk a little bit about your career. You went from Blackburn Rovers to the first time I really heard of you was during that big transfer move to Manchester City with the new owners. You must have seen a lot. I believe it was $17 million at the time, which is like, that's like $170 million in today's money, you know, the way these transfers are going. What was it like making that big switch? Because I know the English media can be tough. And two, if you were 27 today, how much do you think you'd be going for if you were making the transfer to Manchester City? What's that number?
It's a good question. Yeah. No, in this time, it was really strange, the whole situation, because you know, everybody knows, you know, it was the start of the owners, you know, the new ones, the Arabian ones. It was a huge thing in Manchester, because Manchester City was or had so much pressure, you know, from Manchester United, which it was like winning every single year. They were winning titles and they were big and they are massive and they are worldwide known. So that's what everybody expected also, you know, from Manchester City. And at that time, they everything started. So they were just buying players and suddenly we were like 30 players in the dressing room and everybody was a big name coming from other clubs. So we suddenly had a whole new dressing room with players coming from everywhere. And we were lucky, you know, to be part of all that beginning, because it was something massive, you know. And in England also at that time, everybody knew or everybody expected City to become what it is already right now. But obviously, it was big move for everybody, and everybody was really happy, you know, being part of that new birth. Because for City, actually, what we saw that what they become, you know, in this year is fantastic, is great for the city, you know, from England, and also I'm so pleased, you know, having been a part of all the stuff that happened in the club in those years.
Hey guys, it's Zach Steffen, and I just kicked it with the Cooligans.
Let's talk a little bit about World Cups. You've gotten to play in several, scoring goals in them. I know, you know, for at least for us being in the United States, the United States missing the 2018 World Cup was such a challenging and difficult experience, because we, you know, frankly, we were sort of spoiled in the last like 20, 30 years. We're just used to being in them. But can you talk a little bit about that privilege and being able to make it and being able to qualify and what it means to Paraguay when that happened?
We were in a situation where we all actually went to three World Cups. We went in the 2002, in 2006, 2010, all of them in different continents. And it was really frustrated for us, you know, that actually we were to Asia, we went to Europe, we went to Africa, and in the one right next to Paraguay, we couldn't be there. Right. So it was really frustrating, you know, for the people. And all the good that we have done in those years actually went to nothing from one day to the other because we couldn't go there. And in those years, you know, we actually also lost a whole team that actually became old with the national team, playing with the national team. So for us, for Paraguay, is actually a huge thing, this World Cup, because we have missed two of them in the last two World Cups, and for the people is, you know, the people, they love football, and it's actually one of the things that give happiness to the people in a year where it's been actually really hard, you know, economically. People is frustrated because many people lost their jobs, and this COVID thing also brought a lot of different situation for people, and we need as a country, you know, to be there. And right. Football is actually one of the ways that we can make people laugh. Everything looks a little bit better if we should go to that the World Cup. So it's big.
Of course, of course. You know, I have guys are spoiled. Without a doubt. I'm just curious, when you went, especially when you were playing in England, I know it, you know, I've been in Europe, and sometimes my family's from Dominican Republic, República Dominicana. Most people don't know what that is. They're like, why are you black and speak Spanish? That's really that tends to happen to me. But when you were playing in Europe and in England, and you're like, oh, I'm from Paraguay. Are they like, what is Paraguay? Or like, did they know? Because I know they know like Brazil, they know Argentina, but how popular is Paraguay
in Argentina, right?
I hate it. I used to hate it because they say, I used to say, I am from Paraguay. From where? Because they used to think that I said from far away. So I said, I'm from Paraguay. And they said, oh, really? From where? And he was like, yeah, actually, I'm from Paraguay. I was always thinking, oh, my God, my English is really bad because nobody understands it.
That's incredible. Great. Okay. Well, yeah, you know, I think players like Miguel Almirón, players, you know, we work for NYCFC. We have Jesus Medina. So, you know, I'm trying to get a higher profile for Paraguay and Paraguayan players. So we'll help keep pushing that narrative.
No one ever says I'm from Cuba and I play football. So I got no worries.
My parents have been in this country for 40 years, and they speak zero English. What for? Who needs it, right? But honestly, it wasn't weird. When I was a kid, it made perfect sense. It was like I speak Spanish indoors and I speak English outside. There was nothing weird about it. The only time it was an issue was when my mom expected me to translate everything for her, like even if it was like serious shit, you know? Like we would be at the doctor, even at the doctor, she'd be like, oh, honey, what did the doctor just say? And I'd be like, oh, mom, I'd be happy to translate these mammogram results. I'm 7. It's like, hey, mom, I just learned how to read a clock. I can definitely tell you how your tits work. I was a smart kid, what can I say? And it was weird, and there was a lot of pressure on me, but apparently I was the only fourth grader who knew how to say pap smear in Spanish. It's pretty good. If you guys don't know how to say it, it's pronounced papi smear. Most people don't know that. Also, nobody looked that up. Just trust. Just trust. Use it at parties. Your Latino friends will love you. That's good.
Roque, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute honor. We got to get you back on the show. You're welcome here anytime. Is there anything you want to let people know about or plug before we let you go?
Well, you can. We can. Will you allow me to invite people to follow a little bit of Paraguay, so they can also, you know, get to know a little about our country. They can follow in Instagram also. You know, we have so many nice things in the country to visit. So it's going to be really nice if we know people knowing, you know, from our country. And of course, also they can follow me also in Instagram. It's Roque Santa Cruz, as it sounds. So I thank you also, guys. You are really cool. And I'm really happy to join you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you.
Roque is a footballer and travel agent. This is great. Yeah. He does both.
Yeah. I am doctor. I am doctor of tourism in Paraguay.
That's amazing.
So if we ever go to Paraguay, we're going to have the VIP. I'll be like, excuse me, I know Roque Santa Cruz. Thank you very much.
You can have Paraguayan passports if you want it.
What? We're going to be like Ronaldinho trying to get through. Yeah.
Except no one's going to be excited to see me in jail.
Okay. You are well informed, man. We, you know, Ronaldinho made us very, very famous, eh?
Yeah. He's also an ambassador.
Yeah. Maybe he could play in these World Cup qualifiers, okay?
For Paraguay.
We tried to nationalize him, you know, but he wasn't interested in coming back, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Roque, now let's get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show. We will take the video, make it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. So Alexis will give you a scenario and you can celebrate it however you like. So Alexis, what do you suggest?
So here's a scenario. Paraguay needs to win this next match in order to qualify for the World Cup. All of their strikers, for some reason, pull a hamstring. Berizzo calls you on the phone and says, Roque, we need you. You go there, and in the 90th minute, you score the winner. A nice curler from just above the box. You win. Paraguay qualifies for the World Cup. How do you celebrate?
Oh, my God. I don't have even the space yet to show you, but come on!
Perfect. Roque Santa Cruz, an absolute honor. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck, you know, the rest of your career, which might be another 15 years. So yes. It is incredibly impressive what you are doing. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social channels. Follow at Soccer Cooligans as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show and more clips of Roque Santa Cruz if you'd like to check it out. Okay, so Roque, let's end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this. Absolutely honored again to have a Paraguayan legend. So for Roque Santa Cruz, my name is Cristian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!